we are in Hosea chapter 5 this evening. It kind of continues on the theme from last week where the priests were addressed and the problem with the nation was the poor leadership. We begin tonight in chapter 5 in verse 1 identifying three groups: the priests, then the Israelites or the house of Israel, and then the royal family. This house of Israel or the Israelites right here, I'm adding that not just the general people, but some kind of the leadership here, because they are ripping off somebody. They're oppressing somebody. So you're going to have the house of Israel or the common people, we'll just say for our sake, the middle class that's being oppressed by the religious system, the government or the royal family, and then the elites who are using all of this to take this. And of course, that's what we've seen throughout all the prophets, is someone is oppressing someone else. That's been the problem. And usually it's the poor people. But as we go through here, the poor people aren't just poor, because why would you need to oppress poor people? There's nothing for you to get. They're insignificant in the political agenda. They're insignificant in the economy. So it appears this middle group is going to be just the elites. And we'll see that as we go through here. You don't have to agree with that, but I think it makes sense. It kind of gives us some direction. So I'm going to read chapter 5, verse 1. And here goes Hosea. Remember, chapter 4, verse 1 began, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land." There's no faithfulness, goes all the way through. And then it says in verse 4, "But let no man bring a charge, let no man accuse another," meaning don't accuse each other, "for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest." In other words, your behavior, your lifestyle is actually reflecting back on the priest. And then he goes off and begins to talk about the priesthood and how they've rejected knowledge. He's going to reject them as the priests of the kingdom. So that kind of picks up here again. He just reloads after ending chapter 4 saying, "A whirlwind will sweep them away and their sacrifice will bring them to shame." We are going to see sacrifices in this chapter here again, but they're going to be useless. They're bringing them to Yahweh, but they're useless sacrifices, and I'll show you why. Here goes chapter 5, verse 1. "Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you Israelites. Listen, O royal house. This judgment is against you. You have been a snare at Mizpah, a net spread out at Tabor. The rebels are deep in slaughter. I will discipline all of them." So there's two that are mentioned there. We're going to take a look at that, Mizpah and Tabor. And then the rebels are deep in slaughter. We'll take a look at that. And then an announcement, "I will discipline all of them." Verse 3, "I know about all about Ephraim. Israel is not hidden from me." And we'll have to decide, is Ephraim just another name for Israel, which it is oftentimes. But it's going to be used side by side as if the tribe of Ephraim is being pointed out specifically. "But I know all about Ephraim. Israel is not hidden from me. Ephraim, you have now turned to prostitution. Israel is corrupt. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God." That's interesting. They can't return. "A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. They do not acknowledge the Lord. Israel's arrogance testifies against them. The Israelites, even Ephraim, stumble in their sins." There's Israelites and Ephraim being used side by side. Is that just a synonym? Or is it the Israelites, even the tribe of Ephraim? Or is Ephraim used as another synonym for Israel? "The Israelites, even Ephraim, stumble in their sin," meaning their sin is going to cause them to stumble. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pops up Judah. "Judah also stumbles with them." So Judah throughout this book has been being warned, don't follow your sister Israel. Now they're being addressed. "Judah also stumbles with them. When they go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them." So there's the sacrifice being taken to Yahweh, but it's going to be of no use. "They are unfaithful to the Lord. They give birth to illegitimate children." We'll look at that. Who are these illegitimate children? "Now their new moon festivals will devour them. and their fields. Then we'll try to get through those verses tonight and maybe get into these a little, I'll address them, but I'll read the rest of the chapter. Sound the trumpet in Gibeah, the horn in Ramah, raise a battle cry in Beth Avon, and remember that's Bethel. Bethel means house of God. This is house of wickedness. It's probably a play on words to refer to the evil that's done at Bethel, which became a site for one of the golden calf sanctuaries, but also continued from the days of the founding of Israel in the northern kingdom, from the days of Jeroboam all the way up until the prophets here. Lead on, O Benjamin. That's the northern tribe in the land of Judah. Benjamin and Judah were together. So when it says, lead on, O Benjamin, Ephraim will be laid waste. So it's interesting. Benjamin is south of Ephraim. What's being said in those verses? Lead on, O Benjamin, Ephraim will be laid waste on the day of reckoning. That's probably to do with something about either following Israel into sin, because Benjamin's part of Judah, or when they go into captivity. Usually Benjamin would lead into the battle. Now, lead on, O Benjamin. Benjamin's being carried off along with Ephraim into captivity. So there's something being said there. On the day of reckoning, that gives you a clue. When is this leading going to be taking place? On the day of reckoning, which is the day of judgment. Among the tribes of Israel, I proclaim that what is certain, Judah's leaders are like those who move boundary stones. Now again, we're playing with Judah here, which this book is addressed to Israel, but something's taking place here with the moving of boundary stones, and we'll try and put this maybe into next week into some kind of a historical setting. But when Israel was dealing with the Assyrians and trying to get the Arameans to side with them, they had some battles going on, and it is possible that during that time, Judah took advantage of Israel's weak state and was actually moving the boundary stones. So here's the Lord calling out Judah for, you know, stealing land from other tribes. I will pour out during a time of trouble for them. I will pour out my wrath on them like a flood of water. Ephraim is oppressed, trampled in judgment, intent on pursuing idols. I am like a moth to Ephraim, like rot to the people of Judah. Meaning, my very presence is going to drive them into judgment and decay. Like a moth has to eat the cloth, the rot has to cause decay, and the Lord in their presence has to bring destruction. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his sores, then Ephraim turned to Assyria. Now, again, we don't want to get too carried away like we talked about at the beginning. In fact, several commentators warn, don't try to set this in some kind of historical setting because it's so elusive. But here we have Ephraim and Judah. Both are going to be overrun by Assyria. Israel, or Ephraim, in 722. And they're going to be occupied by them in 739. And then Judah is 701 is going to have to face Sennacherib, and then he's going to be sent away by the Lord. But here they're turning to Assyria for help. So this is while Assyria is still rising and is not the threat, because soon after Jeroboam's dynasty ended, the Assyrians moved in and took control. But here, this is probably referring to those days before, when they're dealing with the Arameans, like we saw in some of the other prophets, and there's battles between the Arameans, and they're going up to Assyria, and Judah did this too. Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, went up and asked for help from the Assyrians. And there it says, when Ephraim saw his sickness, meaning their corrupt, sinful nature has now brought disaster on them, and Judah his sores, then Ephraim turned to Assyria and sent to the great king for help. But he is not able to cure you. The Assyrians are not going to be able to help you. The Israelites, not able to heal your sores, talking to Judah. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and a great lion to Judah. Your problem cannot be solved by making alliances with the Assyrians. In fact, the Assyrians are going to be used by God to bring the lion against Ephraim. In other words, when the Lord does come as a lion, it's not going to be him showing up. It's going to be the Assyrians showing up. I'll tear them to pieces and go away. I'll carry them off with no one to rescue them.